When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. John Ritchie, Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney, Ruben Amaro Jr. We are broadcasting live from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Obviously talking a lot of Eagles today. Big game with the Steelers coming up this weekend. Your level of faith that the Eagles are going to show up after a tumultuous week. Also, Philly's offseason winter meetings underway. You want to ask Ruben a Philly's question. You're welcome to get in on that as well. We'll have NFL picks coming up at 9 o'clock. And don't worry, Joe DeCamera has given me his picks. So I have Joe's picks. We'll do that coming up at 9 o'clock today. And
he didn't let you make your own picks?
No, he doesn't make me let his own
picks. That's
make
not
his
nice.
Own picks. I mean, Joe's got it. He's very meticulous. He gave me his record. He gave me John's record.
Oh, my God.
He wants John's picks sent to him today after John makes them so he can keep track himself. I don't know if he thinks people are going to try to cheat or what's going on.
But he probably does.
Yeah. For all that fastidiousness, so. He's four games behind.
Very competitive.
Yeah, I saw the records.
Yeah, because Joe says all the time he doesn't watch games outside of the Eagles, so I feel like he's just guessing off of vibes. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you could do worse than guessing off of vibes.
That's true. Sometimes it works.
But we were talking during the break, John, about Christmas decoration. You a big Christmas lights guy? You put a lot of lights up
in your house? Of course. I'm crazy about Christmas lights and everything else. It is a... Man, it's this time of year where it's everyone's favorite holiday, isn't it?
No, Thanksgiving's
well, you know
my
what?
Favorite
that's
holiday.
Foolish. No, it isn't everyone's favorite. I feel like getting the gifts of this holiday is everyone's favorite activity. This is the biggest get of the holidays.
Well, that's
it?
What I need to do after the show today. I need to go back to my house and hang Christmas lights.
You haven't
that's awesome.
At all.
No, I haven't done it yet, Rhea. I've been procrastinating.
You have little kids.
I know.
My decoration's been up since before Thanksgiving.
What's the sin? Well, that's ridiculous. You can't put lights up before
she's
Thanksgiving.
One of those.
No. No, what I did was, I decorated inside. I had them outside, but I decorate inside my house because at Thanksgiving, I have a lot of my little nieces and nephews come over. So I wanted to be festive in the house.
Okay.
So well, I put all that stuff up.
I support that.
I got to get mine up today. Now Al has told I work.
I
Al
do think
very
you're
frequently.
A you're negligent.
Well, yeah.
As
I'm not good
as a father.
Stuff. Like Al told me, don't get on the roof.
No, like you've done a
Richie
poor
just
job.
Called
negligent,
you a negligent
as a father.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You said you
negligent
got a 2 year old. You got a 2 year old and a 3 year old,
and another one coming in a few weeks.
Oh,
oh wow! I didn't know that.
Yes. Congratulations, by
thank
the way.
You. Thank you.
That
you're
is a huge
man.
Deal. But again, yeah, bad job as a dad. This is Christmas. This is the holiday season. This is Hanukkah. This is Christmas. This is Kwanzaa. This is New Year's. This is the big. This is
It's December 13th.
Time.
I got plenty of time.
No, you don't have plenty of time. Hey, the 12 mall.
12 days.
12 days,
where
exactly.
I go, 12 days.
12 days of Christmas. Perfect
it's
time.
It's imminent. It's upon us, man. Whoever sings 12, the 12 days of Christmas, he's already, he's done.
Okay. Well, I'll get him. I'll get him up today.
Is he done?
I don't know.
Does he just begin?
I've been shopping. I've been headed to, I've been mauling it since mid-October with this holiday in mind, like just to get the presents in line, to get the decorations in line. Every time I go out, I am looking for something that I can make the house feel Christmassier with. And like right now, I'm looking for attire for Slimer. I have a Slimer hanging in the family room. You know Slimer from Ghostbusters?
Yeah, but is that a Christmas thing?
No, but...
that has nothing to do with Christmas.
It has become a year-round decoration in my house. I need to get him Christmas, outfits.
He is green,
naturally.
So...
Naturally.
It works. No, the lights are... I have thousands and thousands of lights on the tree itself, and it's always lit. And it makes a huge difference this time of year. It feels so cozy and cheery. Mm. And you're neglecting bring that that cheer into your house.
If you love Christmas so much, will you want to come over and help me hang my lights today?
I will if you need help, man.
I might need help.
I love to do the Christmas lights.
Okay.
I really do enjoy it.
All right, I'll see you there.
Speaking of Christmas lights, I went to Smedley's. I went down to Smedley Street, did my
yearly.
It's awesome. It's really cool little cul-de-sac. You got to do it. And then Miracle on 13th. You've never been to Smedley Street?
It's literally
it's right in South Philly.
House.
Wait, is it different from Miracle on 13th Street?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've been on 13th Street.
I've been to 13th Street. I've never even heard of Smedley.
Smedley is right off of Oregon.
Let's go.
You can't access it from Oregon. You have to go. Now, you can take your car around. We walk there because it's walking distance from my house. What they do there is spectacular. I have pictures on my phone.
The Smedley's.
It's Smedley Street.
Smedley.
Right. It's a little cul-de-sac.
I've never heard of it. I'm adding into this. I love 13th Street, and I haven't done that yet this year.
I just did both of them last night.
There you go.
That's how I do it.
So you got the lights up at your house, and they've been up for a while?
Well, we have our tree. We've had our tree since just after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. We can see it from the street.
Nice. Well, I got my tree up last weekend, so at least I got that done.
Okay.
I'll get the lights
That's
done.
That's the bare minimum.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go to Scott in King of Prussia. What's up, Scott?
Morning, team.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, do you have a double ladder to get up to that roof, TK?
A double ladder. Yeah, Scott. I need all the help I can get up there. Morgani told me not to go up on the roof, though. He doesn't.
Yeah,
trust
that's
me.
A little dangerous. Yeah.
I don't go on the. Do you go on your roof?
No.
No.
I'll hang him in the bushes or something.
I'm fearful.
John, we could use a little help out here in King of Prussia. Maybe you could make an appearance and help some people with Christmas lights, starting with me. That would be much appreciated.
Be your new side hustle,
I think
John.
I do enjoy it. I enjoy it. I would like to help.
And for the rest of this call, Rhea will not be talking about Pat Mahomes under any circumstance.
Thank you.
Yes, no problem. All right, so quick Eagles point or question. For me, I'm going to script the first 10, and I'm going to give the squeaky oil. I'm going to give the squeaky wheel his oil, and I'm going to throw the first 10 to AJ and to Devontae, and I'm just going to see how it plays out. I'm guessing the Steelers are going to stack the box anyway, so it's probably going to be available, so why not just go ahead and do it? We find that squeaky wheels get the oil. All we have to do is take a look at Joe DeCamera in his private bathroom at work with his private bidet. So if you squeak, you do.
There's no
the
private
oil.
Bidet at work. Let's get that straight.
John? I was about to say.
I'm not sure. I'm relatively certain, though. I think the bidet is just at Joe's apartment.
Rumor is that he's got a private bathroom. He's not telling anybody about there.
Actually, I know where the private bathroom is, and I've never told Joe about it.
Ooh, well done, Rhea. Well done. All right, pivoting to the Phillies. Ruben, you mentioned a little talk about Tucker, now that we've missed out on some of the other big plays that are out there. I'm wondering something a little simpler, and I'm hoping that you can answer it not as a GM, not as a former GM, but just as a fan. Why won't the Phillies flip Turner and Stott heading into this season. Play Stott at short and play Turner at second, or even Turner at third if he won't play the outfield. Why does he have to stay at shortstop? And please don't tell me it's best for the team.
I think that one of the reasons, it's a great question. I mean, I've actually thought about this a little bit, and as far as positional changes are concerned, one of the thoughts I had was, you know, if you can get a first baseman to perhaps move a guy like Harper to the outfield also. I don't have any problem with that myself as a fan. I think that'd be great, just because I think it's just a better overall team if we do take Turner and put him in the outfield, just because I think, one, it'll take the heat off him as far as the defense, because it might be make him a better offensive player.
If he's not thinking about it.
Yeah, and yeah. I think one of the issues is, one, they sort of promised him when they signed him that he would be the shortstop. And if I'm thinking about him personally, he probably feels most comfortable at that position, and also probably feels like if he continues to be the offensive player he is, got a really good chance of being a Hall of Famer if he continues to put up those
kind of
numbers.
Which Hall of Fame are you talking about? The one that's in Williamsport or wherever?
I'm just thinking, you know, offensively for him. And
you
again,
think he's a Hall of Fame player?
He has a chance if he continues, as a shortstop, if he continues to put up the numbers that he puts up over the next 8 to 10 years. Yeah, he does. But I think my feeling is, you know, that's a difficult ask for a guy, and at some point that may happen. I just think that I don't think that Turner's comfortable enough right now moving off that position, and that puts the front office in a tough position.
How difficult is it to have that difficult conversation with him?
Yeah, it is a tough one, especially if he's been promised that he will be the everyday shortstop for the next 10 years.
But if it's actively hurting your team, I mean,
I mean, again, that's one of the things. I mean, he acknowledged last year that he was not, you know, before last year, that he did not have a very good year defensively. I think he has improved some, or did improve some this year. Nope. I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case, but he did improve. I think he improved some. But again, I mean, this is something that, you know, that is a really tough thing for the Phillies to deal with, the front office. And, you know, will it make them better? I think it could. But it is certainly something to think about.
Ruben, I we're on different pages here. I personally think that as long as you keep Trey Turner at shortstop, you will not win the World Series. To me, you're asking your pitchers to throw extra pitches. He extends innings. He'll make a spectacular play now and then, but what he does not do is make the consistent play. And for me, you have to have a shortstop that makes the consistent play. Personally, I play Sosa, but I've already been talked out of that. But for me, Stott is the perfect answer. I don't see, listen, if you can play shortstop in the major leagues, then you can play second base. I know it's not vice versa, but there's no reason why Trey Turner can't play second base.
Well, he did play some second base. I mean, you're talking about the middle infield. They're both really important defensive positions. There's no question about it. And he did okay at second base with the Dodgers in the half season. He did that. But listen, we've been blessed by having an unbelievable shortstop for many, many years in Jimmy Rollins. People don't understand how important he was and how consistent he was. I don't think he gets enough love for that, because when the ball was hit to him, it was an out, period, end of story. And that is, you make a great point. I do think that there can be improvement there. I just think it's a really tough position for the Phillies to be in as far as the front office is concerned, to ask him to move.
Scott, what's something you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
Quick comment on Rollins. To all you New York people out there, I'll take Jimmy Rollins any day over Derek Jeter. He can be my shortstop. Jimmy Rollins, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer, and that can be debated at a later date. For me, my answer is Wawa. I'm going to go with Wawa.
Wawa. Appreciate the call, Scott.
Across Pennsylvania, because that's what they have out there.
Wawa? No, they're everywhere.
Oh, Wawa. I thought he said Wawa. I'm like,
really? Okay, Joe, the camera.
I'm sorry.
Said it. I'm like, what is he?
It's something about that microphone.
Literally, Joe can't hear. You can't hear.
It's something about the seat. I sit in the seat and I just channel my inner Joe.
Is Jimmy just like a quick thing? Because I mean, Jimmy was my favorite player. My list was Jimmy, Ryan Howard, and then Chase Utley. I know that's a weird list for most Phillies fans, but Jimmy was my favorite player. Is he a Hall of Famer or is he just borderline?
Ooh, it's really on a cusp, but I don't know, man. I like him as a Hall of Famer just because of, you know, having watched him. I think he got sort of screwed out of a bunch of Gold Glove awards, and I just think this is a guy that was one of the best defensive players in the game for a long, long period of time. He just didn't get recognized for it enough.
And Ruben, one quick thing that you had mentioned earlier, and when you look at the Phillies, obviously you need to improve the outfield. Last year, you basically got very, very little offensively from two-thirds of the outfield. The idea of Bryce Harper, he's moved to first base, but say you get into this offseason, you don't land Kyle Tucker. Say you can land a first baseman. Do you think moving Bryce back to the outfield is something the Phillies would actually consider?
Well, I think Bryce has liked first base so much and played it so well that it's sort of tough to have him continue to bounce back and forth all over the place. If you can get a guy like Christian Walker and sign a guy like that or someone of that ilk, you would consider it. I just don't see them moving Bryce back and forth as well. I mean, again, a really tough conversation to have. With both Bryce and Turner making them move off positions when they've been really very, very good players at their positions for a long time.
Yeah, interesting this offseason for sure. Let's go to Dave in Wilmington. What's up, Dave?
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
So, quick question. What does Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the Ravens quarterback, his name?
Lamar Jackson.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
what do they have in common? The last time they played against Jalen Hurts, they lost. So why do callers continue to talk about Patrick Mahomes' stats instead of worry about our quarterback?
He's got three Super Bowl rings.
Right, Dave. I mean, do you think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. We have a second-round quarterback who's playing like a late first-round quarterback. But I'm just tired of them calling in and saying, Patrick Mahomes throws interceptions. Patrick Mahomes fumbles. He's not having a good year. We're not worried about Patrick Mahomes. If you're worried about Patrick Mahomes, move to Kansas City and call their radio.
All right, so you're not high on Jalen Hurts.
I'm not high on Jalen Hurts, but I'm not the extreme where I hate him and think he's a piece of crazy. He's a good quarterback, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's his own quarterback, and that's who we need to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, he's different from those guys. He doesn't have the same skill sets that
I get
those
what he's saying.
Have.
It's like, stop comparing him to Patrick and Josh Allen. I get it now. I understand.
What do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania, Dave?
The most toppy thing, even though it's never done right, the Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak. There you go. Appreciate the call, Dave. So a lot of these answers.
Is that Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's more Philadelphia.
We're Philadelphia centric.
Yeah.
Well, so TK, you said hoagies.
I think that's more Philadelphia. I think you're wrong.
He said cheesesteak.
Thanks, Ryan.
So what are you saying there?
I feel like the correct answer here is sandwiches. Like Pennsylvania just is sandwiches.
Yeah, the Primanti sandwich.
The Primanti brothers, right? And then in Philly we have the cheesesteak. So. Yeah.
We do knock sandwiches out of the park.
We do sandwiches really well.
Yeah. You can cover a sandwich.
I'm proud of our sandwich ability.
Yeah. You want to know why, John? Because we have the best rolls.
Yes.
The water makes huge difference.
Yeah. Like Jersey has the best bagels because the water.
Water.
I've never said
water.
We have
the best rolls.
And I've had
I've never said water either.
Thank you, Devin. It's like so weird when I hear people say that. I'm like, I never said that.
I've had a few people rip my choice here. So I had the first selection of the day.
And you got it wrong.
And I gave a bad
horribly
answer.
Horribly wrong.
Have you ever been to Pittsburgh?
I was there one time. I went to visit my friend in Duquesne one time.
They don't say hoagie.
Oh, right. You said
Can I drop mine?
No, it's not really.
Please, Ruben. Thank you.
I think Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital of the world, particularly in Kennett Square.
Boom.
Really?
I think you might be right.
No,
mushroom capital of the world.
Mushroom capital.
That comes from
a
man, Tony D'Amico, who actually runs Tokyo.
In the world,
is it really world?
I believe
world.
Because I've heard this for New Jersey. I have heard this about some other spots.
With mushrooms?
Yeah.
Isn't New Jersey?
The mushrooms.
New
tomatoes?
Jersey's
Kennett
tomatoes.
Square. Man.
I've heard mushroom capital of the world thrown about, bandied about, a little casually.
Yeah, Kennett Square, PA is known as the mushroom
not
capital.
Not casual anymore.
Mm. It's official now.
Ruben Amaro is right.
That's
it is
right.
Good.
You know why? So you know why he's right? He's a fun guy.
Yes.
What a bum.
Oh, dad joke. Thanks, Joe.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in here. And, you know, this Eagles-Steelers game is going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how the crowd responds. Obviously, they're going to be fired up.
We will handle everything really well, TK. We always do.
Well, I would hope so, Rhea.
This is going to be my favorite moment of the game. So say they come out, they target AJ a couple of times, like you're quick. And then they're going to start chanting, run the ball. I'll find it incredibly amusing.
Well, that would be annoying.
Classic Philadelphia.
Let's start some pass the ball chants this week. But yesterday, Nick Foles was on a Barstool show, and he was talking about the crowd. And I think the crowd's going to play an interesting role this week as this game takes place. Here's what Nick Foles had to say about this Philadelphia crowd and how it can be used to the Eagles' advantage.
It made you tougher.
Exactly.
It made you tougher as a player. And then it held you accountable because you weren't going to go in a fan base that was just always going to be lovey-dovey, which everyone thinks they'd love that. It makes you go back to work and realize every time you step in front of these people at the link, all these fans that bleed green, you better bring it. And if you're not giving everything or you're not executing, you're going to hear about it. But when you're going great, man, that place, the NFC Championship game, you brought it up, that energy in that stadium before the game. There's a rhythm before the game, like we're about to go to 7-on-7 and throw. I couldn't even go to 7-on-7 because the stadium was so vibrant, so loud. Our players were dancing. There was so much energy that I just waited 2 minutes and just took it all in. And that's really, talking to Vikings players that were in that game, they think the fans were what really, like, I mean, obviously we executed, but they're like, if we played this in Minnesota, we win this game. And I – fans have a huge home field advantage in Philadelphia.
I got goosebumps right now just hearing that.
And I think it's going to be interesting because after everything this week, and I want to know where you guys fall on this, I think it's going to be a really positive crowd on Sunday. I think people are going to obviously be fired up for the game. And you know, A.J. Brown catches a pass. That crowd's going to erupt
nuts
every time A.J. Brown makes catches.
100%. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But if they end the first quarter and it's 10-3 Pittsburgh, not as positive.
Or if the first completed pass is in like the end of the second quarter, there's going to be the sarcastic cheers, which are always my favorite from a Philly crowd.
If the first completed pass is at the end of the second quarter,
we have a problem.
Then we have a massive problem.
Houston.
That was an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. Yeah. If it's a while into the game.
How'd you feel about that, John? I mean, with you played here, the crowd, how big of a factor is it for you guys?
I absolutely thought the crowd made it harder for Donovan McNabb to play at home than on the road. I thought that many a game. In the middle of the game, I thought, man, I feel for Don. I have compassion for our quarterback because it must be so hard to stay focused and stay positive when everyone is screaming, McNabb, you suck! I mean, after one incompletion,
and honestly,
I could not believe it. It was the grand opening of the link, and it really was.
I think we were like four and out.
I think we were 4 and out, and
was that the Patriots?
Suck. There's still smoke in the air from the fireworks.
Oh, the Bucks.
And Donovan is being singled out. I felt so awful for him.
Didn't you guys
on
try
many occasions
a fake field goal throw to LJ Smith in that game?
LJ
that
Smith,
was incomplete.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure.
I know we lost our first couple games, and it felt like the world was collapsing because of it. And then we were able to turn it around.
And this is why when we talk about Jalen,
how was the crowd when you turned it around? Were they still screaming, Donovan, you suck?
Yeah.
This is why Jalen.
Usually they don't. I mean, look at that show, that Michael Jack Schmidt, that documentary on MLB Network.
I can't wait to watch it.
Last night. Yeah. It premiered last night. Yeah. It's really terrific. I would please recommend you guys seeing it. But, the fans do switch. They will flip. And, listen, when you're not playing well, they're on you. Mm-hmm. When you're playing well, they're with you. Yeah. And so and that's the beauty and the difficulty of being an athlete here in this city, but for me, I love the passion, and that's what really matters for me.
And I mean, for your teams, Ruben, I mean the crowds those years, and we've seen it the last couple of years down at the Citizens Bank Park. I mean, just incredible in the postseason, the kind of advantage that gives to a team.
It is amazing, and we talk about what happened with Bohm and Turner in a positive way. That those were pretty amazing. But listen. I think athletes who come here have to expect, there's going to be reaction, whether it's positive or negative, and that's how it is. That's how it works here.
A lot of guys can't swing it, and I guess that's understandable. It's not like other places, and I'm positive that is there's responsibility that goes with that as a coach, as a player, and you have to understand that you have to be mentally tough. Here, you have to be mentally just more resilient in Philadelphia because more is expected of you.
And this is why when we talk about Jalen, I mean, Jalen doesn't get it that bad. I mean, think back to, like you mentioned, with Donovan. I mean, Donovan was the third best quarterback in the league for 5 years. And, I mean, people acted like he stunk during that period of time.
Well, it's all about the W's, and if you're not putting the W's on there,
you won a lot of games.
And you're not reaching the expectations. It's not just about, like,
NFC championship games. It was loss after loss, and that was painful.
Right, which is sort of happening with the Phillies a little bit as they continue to lose in the playoffs. People are starting to lose a little bit of faith. It's still a really, really good ball club, and they're going to be one of the best top five ball clubs in baseball when we open up in spring training.
You think they're going to be top five?
I do think that they have talent-wise. I don't know that they will get there, but I think there's some work to do still, but they're still going to be considered as far as on paper is concerned. And really, the fans should back them for as long as they possibly can because It's hard to win, man. It's hard to win.
Sure is.
Time for a read on our Twitter poll question of the day. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2025 Equinox sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet at WIP Morning Show on Twitter. Who wins on Sunday, Eagles or Steelers? 83% of the audience believe the Eagles get it done and win this game on Sunday. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Chuck in Cherry Hill. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, gang.
Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, everybody. Happy weekend. I like the write-down snippets that you guys say. Hard to win, Ruben Touche, baby. Is it ever hard to win? And, Rhea, when you said perfect storm for this week, that's the perfect caption for what happened all the way through.
Oh, yeah. But, it's just everything kind of came together.
Yeah, everything. Absolutely, positively. It was brilliant. Two callers ago, my Lord, if you guys could ever connect Scott with somehow and I together, I'd be so. This guy's researched, and when he talks about flipping your middle infield, the 2-for-1 deal, he absolutely makes shortstop better DRS. And I know Turner can handle the second base responsibilities. It was just, he did it in short stint. Ruben, you make that middle infield much better, but to egos and everything else you mentioned, they won't do that, right, Ruben? That's just not a direction the front office will go with Turner. We can't look for that. It's just not going to happen, right?
I don't think so. And again, it's a really difficult thing to ask. And maybe down the road, but I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Yeah, just two quick points. I watched your show last night. It's fabulous. The transition that Schmidt makes after 73 season, where he gets a lot of at-bats, 500 at-bats, that's 196. Fans are all over him, sub 700 OPS. Everybody's saying this guy's a bum. He's the next season, he takes a 196 batting average to 282, OPS 697 to 940. Man, whatever Schmidt did between the 73 and 74 season, I want to have some of that cereal. Then he posts up 11 seasons over 900 OPS. You talk about a remarkable career. And I don't think the Philadelphia fans realize that. We used to get on him for being not clutch. Here's his clutch numbers. Two outs, runners in scoring position, by game late, late and close, trailing by one. OPS, 925, 250 home runs in those scenarios. So this guy's as clutch as it gets. But most Phillies fans, I'm included myself, didn't think he was clutch. My Lord, was he ever clutch. It's just unbelievable.
Chuck, I will just say this about him. Like, see, I was, I grew up with Mike Schmidt, but I was also too young to have developed the negative gene that I think I might have. But, so I was a huge fan of his, that was also, when Ron Jaworski was here. But my older brothers and sisters, I heard it from them that they, so I think it all is relative. Like, if you're young, when a star is, you don't really look at their flaws, but your parents, your brothers, it's in different parts of my family, you either loved Mike Schmidt or you were like, well, he drove me crazy.
I think the fact that the numbers that weren't that very good in the playoffs early until 1980 when he really was fantastic, because his numbers in the playoffs were not great. And I think that the fans focused on that so much that it took away from his goatness.
There was no wild cards back then.
Ruben, you just grabbed the brass ring. So all that greatness, and you go to 236, 304, and that's shocking because he always had high on base 380+ and 690 in postseason. And Rhea and Ruben, that's why we have the sentiment of negativity, because his postseason career, unfortunately, a great player, best third baseman ever. But in the postseason, as you often say, Ruben, it's a different game in the postseason, right?
Chuck,
so much more difficult.
Sure is.
Chuck, what do you think of when you think of Pennsylvania?
Well, my grandfather helped build it, so I'm always going to say the Ben Franklin Bridge.
I like it.
There you go.
Well, that's more Philadelphia than Pennsylvania. But, he brought up the we're talking about when Foles is talking about what the stadium was like for that NFC Championship game. What I remember, you had the failed NFC Championships with McNabb. I remember when they finally broke through, and that was against Atlanta, right?
Yep.
So I'm in the press box. I remember I wanted to feel what – I went outside so I could feel – That's I've never like it was wasn't until that Minnesota game, which obviously another NFC Championship game. I've never felt a stadium shake or be loud like that in my entire life. It was insane.
It was just like the 2007 Phillies when they finally crossed over and won the the NL East or whatever. Those moments. And then they sort of snowballed on themselves, right? The fans really got behind both those teams, but it is something to behold. You talk to players.
2022 Phillies.
Yeah, you talk to players who play against the Phillies about that and what it's like. I mean, think about Romano, what he's saying. I mean, he basically said, "I want to play in Philadelphia because of what I've experienced there player on the other side." And I mean, you can talk about the fans all you want, but when they create that kind of atmosphere for you
it's another layer.
It's something special.
And that's why I think it's interesting as it pertains to this game this weekend, because it's not a playoff game, it's not an NFC Championship game, anything like that. But this is a smart fan base, and I think the fan base understands, coming off this week, all the stuff that's happened, that this is a really important game for this team. And it's really important for them to respond. And I think it's going to be more than a typical Eagles crowd on Sunday, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I hope so.
I love that.
I don't see a single terrible towel in the crowd either.
It should be intense. It should be more intense. This is an interstate rivalry. It's our side topic today. There's not enough animosity between us and the Steelers. It's always like, okay, they're AFC, we're NFC. It's okay to kind of like the Steelers. It's not really a direct competitor. Well, now they are.
Yeah.
Now we have to beat this Steelers team, guys. We have to win out this season to have a chance to get the one seed, which will give us a better shot to win the Super Bowl. We are talented enough to win the Super Bowl. The Lions have the inside track right now, unless they lose too.
Well, no, and that's another factor that we haven't gotten a ton into today, but this is a huge weekend for the one seed. I mean, if the Eagles win and the Lions lose, all of a sudden, it's very real.
Then we have a new lease on life, and it's very possible that the Lions do lose this game.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills, they have a lot to prove. And yes, they're very good. That's such an awesome matchup.
That's so good.
Let's go to Avery, who wants to talk about roller coasters. What's up, Avery?
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Avery?
I just heard you guys talking about how you love, big roller coaster drops.
Please. That's the only way.
I used to think I loved roller coasters, but we just took my stepdaughter to Universal Studios in Orlando.
Uh-huh.
She's 9 years old, went on her first loop-de-loop, okay? Yeah. And she chose the Velocicoaster, which I thought I was going to die on.
Well, that does not sound as fun.
I had to, be brave for her. Probably the scariest roller coaster I've ever been on in my life. She went on it 7 times.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Well, why is it the scariest roller coaster you've ever been on in your life?
She got addicted.
Okay, so it's not like a typical roller coaster where you go up nice and slow. No, no, no. It shoots you out automatically at 85 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And the top drop, you're going to have to look it up. The top drop is like an 85 degree angle straight down for 155 feet.
That sounds
What's it
awesome.
Called again?
That sounds perfect. Is that a super far drop?
How do you even spell that?
Did that seem like a farther drop than what you were accustomed to?
Oh, yeah. And
yes!
They made this whole roller coaster, like most roller coasters, they call it like a positive G-force where it pushes you back into the seat.
Uh-huh.
They purposely made this whole roller coaster to be a negative G-force where you feel like you're going to fall out of the seat the whole time.
Okay.
Wow.
The same exact thing that happened to me in Hershey Park when it broke me forever, and I haven't been on a roller coaster since.
This
it was
sounds
like pushing
awesome.
Me out of the seat.
Right.
And after that, I was like, I almost just died.
I want to feel I'm flying out of the seat.